Doctor, let's say that we ignore all or most, and that any of the renewable stuff remains at the margin, and we arrive at this worst-case scenario, this tipping point when the big releases in the north and everything else that's going to happen actually begins to happen. What kind of world are we going to be living in?
Okay, here it goes. We have to realize that when we look at these simulations, these calculations about what could happen, there's a range of where we could cross some of these thresholds where we think we would have crossed the point where we would have irreversible change. And one of those is the large ice sheets, the Greenland ice sheet and the West Antarctic ice sheet of down south. And what some of the simulations suggest, that if we had sustained global average temperature warming between 2 and 7 degrees Fahrenheit above today's global average temperature, that would initiate irreversible melting of the Greenland ice sheet. And we could do what we did like we did in the past. We had the Greenland ice sheet melting and the West Antarctic ice sheet melting that raised sea level. And the amount that the sea level would rise, we could cross that threshold before it would take the full time for the ice sheet to melt, a significant amount to raise sea level on the order of 23 feet.
23 feet.
It's a combination of the perimeters of the Greenland ice sheet. There'll be this root core that will stay there for a long time in the center, but there's a lot of ice around the edges that would melt back a significant amount. And then the West Antarctic ice sheet, a lot of that is ice shelves that would be floated off and big chunks of ice that would directly contribute. As soon as you dislodge it from land, melt it, have it run off as meltwater, and go into the ocean, you directly raise sea level. And that type of sea level rise is something that would be significant for some of the major cities, including New York City, the Bay Area of San Francisco. We would have Bangladesh, the small islands that are sprinkled throughout our ocean areas that would be completely inundated by some of this type of change. And
okay, let's look
that
at
would
20...
be something we'd have to adapt to if we crossed that threshold. And to give an idea of how close we are to the low end of that estimate is that right now we know that we've stored so much heat in the ocean that's excess that would give heat back to the atmosphere and warm up our global average atmospheric temperature at the surface another degree Fahrenheit. So we're already halfway to the low end of that simulation. So that's it's kind of as if the scientists know that we're approaching, as if we're in a car driving towards a cliff edge, but it's a foggy night because we're not sure how fast that cliff edge is going to approach because it depends on the choices we, you and I, and all the citizens of this planet, what we make. How fast is that cliff edge going to approach? But they know that it's out there and that if we keep driving the car, then we risk driving over the cliff edge. And the problem is we just don't know how fast. And we know that we could put on the brakes and stop it and just not drive over that cliff edge. It's just we know that the low-end estimate of where we think the edge of that cliff edge is rapidly approaching. And we hope that it's the better estimate, that it's much, much higher temperature before we cross that threshold. But we're not sure. We know from the past that when carbon dioxide was not even as high as today, 130,000 years ago, sea level rose much higher than today because significant melting of the Greenland ice sheet and the West Antarctic ice sheet. And so we know that the Earth is capable of doing this. It responds very rapidly when carbon dioxide is at a high temperature. It just takes centuries, and in our time scale, that seems like a long time. But we could cross that temperature. For example, the risk of crossing this threshold is some of the estimates the IPCC, Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, has for the end of this century. So we could cross that if it was the low-end estimate of when we would cross that point where we would initiate long-term melting of significant portions of the Greenland ice sheet and contribution from the West Antarctic ice sheet.
What would New York City look like with a 23-foot change?
The lower Manhattan area, a lot of that would be compromised. Maybe some people have seen some of the simulations in the movie, which Al Gore and Inconvenient Truth had these simulations, and that's taking 20-foot sea elevation and just running that over Manhattan. It would take, now mind you, and it was said in the movie in a voiceover that it would take centuries for this to happen. It's not going to happen overnight, but that would show you that you would have parts of lower Manhattan that would be flooded. Parts of the Potomac running into D.C. would be flooded. But more importantly, the worst cases of flooding would happen in Louisiana, the huge portions of the area around New Orleans and to the left and right of that area. You lose significant parts of southern Louisiana and Florida. All the Florida Keys would be inundated. The big portions of southern Florida with that type of sea level rise.
Mm-hmm.
Not the entire continent. We'd have to move inland. It's just we have, and this has happened in the past. It's just that we didn't have a lot of people and a lot of high dollar real estate sitting in the way of sea level rise.